Welcome to the King's Church podcast. We are an ACC church based on the Gold Coast in Queensland, Australia. We'd love for you to join us on any given Sunday. In the meantime, we hope this message blesses you.
Today I'll be continuing the series that we started a few weeks ago on Proverbs. And so basically term three every year, we always spend time looking at a book of the Bible. And so usually what we do is we look at it in what's called an expository way. So what that means is we go through it chapter by chapter, verse by verse. But this year we're looking at Proverbs, but we're not going through it that way. We're going through it more topically because Proverbs is actually a cluster of wise sayings, and there's all these topics interspersed. So the way we're looking at Proverbs is we're going through topics, so we've picked a number of topics that are key themes throughout Proverbs, and we're looking at those topics. And so that's what we'll be doing today. Proverbs is one of the great books of the Bible in terms of it's probably the most practical book of the Bible. Who knows, a Christian life is more than just knowledge and scripture memorization and that sort of thing, but it's also about how do we practically live this Christian life that God has for us. You know, the Bible tells us that we are created in God's image. God is our creator. He's our maker. That's one of the great things about becoming a Christian. You actually find the purpose for why you're here. Yeah. It's interesting right now in society, so many people are purposeless. They're lacking identity. That's a major issue right now. But when you get to know your maker, when you get to know the one who created you and why he created you, Ephesians 2:10, we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works. God's got a plan for your life, and he is able to help us to live this life that we have right now. And Proverbs is one of the great books in the Bible to help us practically live this life right here, right now. And so I want to talk to you about a topic that is very, very, is right through Proverbs and spoken about a lot. And basically, I want to read to you from Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13, Proverbs 8:13, and it says this: the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance and the evil way, and the perverse mouth I hate. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I ask and pray that you'd speak to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. He says there, the perverse mouth I hate. What does that mean? God actually cares how we talk. Yeah. You know, you might have heard the old saying, talk is cheap. Actions mean more than words. Well, not according to scripture. Actions are important, but so are words. Yeah. The way we use our mouth is vitally important to God. Proverbs 18, verse 20 to 21 says this: a man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth. From the produce of his lips he shall be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. How we use our words, how we use our tongue is incredibly important to God. And one of the major themes, if wisdom is probably the number one theme, wisdom, knowledge and understanding, if that's probably the number one theme in Proverbs, I reckon the number two theme all throughout Proverbs is our speech, how we use our mouth. And so today I want to talk to you about our tongue. I want to talk to you about what Proverbs indicates about our tongue. And so basically, I want to talk to you about four things about our tongue that we can find from the book of Proverbs. The first thing about our tongue is this: our tongue is a rudder. It's a rudder. Our tongue can actually steer the direction of our life. Proverbs 18:21, I just read it before. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. So what outcome do you want? Do you want death? It's in your tongue. You want life? It's in your tongue as well. Proverbs 12:6 says this: the words of the wicked are lying wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright will deliver them. Deliverance is actually in our mouth. The direction of our life can actually be determined by the way that we speak. In the book of James, James chapter 3, it actually has an entire chapter talking about the tongue. And in verses 3 to 5 of book of James, it says, indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships, although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and it boasts great things. Here it says it very plainly: our tongue is like a rudder. What's the job of a rudder? The rudder determines the course and the destiny of the ship. A few weeks ago, I was up at the Torres Strait, and I'd never been there before, and actually was had the opportunity, it was a bit of a bucket list thing, to go to the tip of Australia, Cape York. It was so funny, I didn't even know it was nearby. I'd flown into a town called Bamaga, and I didn't even really know where Bamaga was, and then the pastor there said to me, "Do you want to go to the tip?" And I thought, man, not a lot to do here, is there? You know, people going to the tip, hanging, why would I want to go to the tip? And he said, "Oh, well, do you want to go to..." And he goes, "No, the tip of Australia." I said, "What? Cape York Peninsula?" He goes, "Yeah." I said, "Well, how far away is it?" He goes, 30K. I said, 30K? I said, "Of course I want to go there." And so it was great. I was up there on some of my work with our movement. And then also too, we had bought for the Torres Strait, for the Torres Strait region. So each part of Queensland is separated into regions for our movement. And so I went up there and we had bought a boat for that region so that the regional leader can go and visit these other churches. And it was incredible. We hopped in the boat. We were out there for 8 hours and we went to these remote islands. And one I was really taken aback by, actually. We went to this place where a pastor on an island of 200 people was building a church with his bare hands, basically. And it was absolutely incredible. The facility was like state of the art. He just needed a little bit more money to finish it. And so we might put that forward a little bit later on because I think we could do that. And it was incredible. And so we went out there. And then on the way back, the guy was skippering the boat. He said to me, he goes, "Look, we better get back pretty quick because there's going to be low tide." I said, "Okay, great." He goes, "No, you don't understand." He says, "When it's low tide, it gets to the point that the reef starts getting exposed." And so we went just out in a straight line. He said, "We're not going to be able to do that on the way back." And so it was really interesting. On the way back, there was all this reef and we had to navigate it and we had to turn. And I remember there was one, I couldn't see a gap between the reef and he knew where it was. Obviously, it was a local. And so we steered this way and then we had to duck back this way in order to get through it. And if we didn't, we would have scraped the boat on the reef. And I remember thinking to myself, glad we got a rudder. Because the rudder is the thing that directs the course of the boat. Our tongue's a rudder.
Yeah. Yeah.
It directs the course of our life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is why as Christians, we don't just use our tongue to commentate on what is.
That's right. Yeah.
We use our words to determine the direction in which we want to go.
That's good.
You know, some people say, "Well, I only speak what's real. I only speak, how it is." Well, can I tell you as Christians, we don't only speak how it is. We speak how it's gonna be. We prophesy and we start declaring. Being a realist all the time means you're a person lacking faith. We are not called to be commentators on how things are. We're supposed to use our words to declare how things are gonna be. Because our tongue is a rudder. That's why the Bible says, "Let the weak say, oh, I need some help. I'm really struggling. Can someone give me a lift? Life is really bad." No, let the weak say, "I am strong."
Right.
No, you're not really strong. That's just hype. But the Bible says, let the weak say, "I am strong." The Bible says, let the poor say, "I'll do better when interest rates change." No. So let the poor say, "I am rich." Why? Because we throw our words out there and then our life starts marrying out with our words. That's how God created the earth, right? First day of creation. He says, "Let there be light," and there was. The Bible says that there was chaos, absolute chaos. But he didn't address the chaos. He spoke the light into being. I can imagine, there's times when I'm at home and I walk into one of my son's rooms and it's chaos. Like you can't see the floor. There's just food that's been there for ages. There's that plate I was looking for. And all these sorts of things. All through the place is chaos, right? And the Bible says that in the beginning, the earth was chaos. But God doesn't say, "Oh, look at that mess. Who's going to come and clean it up?" He didn't even bother. He said, "Let there be light." And there was. He spoke it into being. It's the only thing he created on the first day. And then on the fourth day, he created the greater and the lesser lights. What are the greater and the lesser lights? The sun, moon, and the stars. So watch this. He created light on the first day, but didn't create the sun till the fourth day. Now that can't happen. That's not possible. But it doesn't matter if it can't happen. When God says something, it's going to come to pass. Because he uses his words to create. Don't just commentate on how things are. Start speaking to it. That's why God gives you promises from the Word of God. That's why God gives you a prophecy. And what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to start declaring what's going to be. We're not supposed to be just commentators on everything that's going on in the world, commentating about it. The world can do that. God has called us to be a prophetic people and not just commentate on what's going on, but to start speaking life. You choose. Death and life, where is it? It's not out there, it's in our tongue. We're supposed to speak it into being. There have been times where God has told me to say things and I've said them and immediately afterwards I felt foolish. I thought that is not possible. I cannot see how that is going to come to pass. But the amount of times that later on circumstances start marrying up to the things that were spoken, that's what God has called us to be, amen? Our tongue is a rudder. Has God given you a prophecy? Has God spoken to your heart and your circumstances aren't matching up to it? Don't just commentate on your present circumstances. Start declaring the things that God has said, because our tongue is a rudder. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Even Jesus did this. The Bible says that Jesus said, "Speak to the mountain and that it'll be moved." He doesn't say, speak about the mountain. Oh, you know, we'd do a lot better if this mountain wasn't here. If this mountain wasn't here, we'd be able to progress. But oh, gee, there's a mountain. He doesn't say, speak about the mountain. He says, speak to the mountain and then it shall be removed. I love it when Jesus was actually asked to raise Lazarus from the dead. Mary and Martha, Lazarus' sisters, called for Jesus to come to see them. And the Bible says that he actually delayed and he actually made sure, in some ways, he actually made sure that Lazarus had died. Yeah. And so he gets to the tomb and they say to, and he says, and they said, oh, alas, my Lord, if you had been here, he wouldn't have died. And what did Jesus say? Jesus said, he's not dead. He's just sleeping. No, Jesus, he's dead. He's completely dead. In fact, he's dead so long that when he says to them, open up the tomb, they said, no, Lord, he stinketh. That's in the King James Bible. He started rotting. He was dead. But Jesus didn't say, oh, he's dead. He says, no, he's just sleeping. What's he doing? He's sending his words out in front of him. And he called Lazarus forth and Lazarus came back to life. Our tongue is a rudder. Second thing about our tongue is this. Our tongue is a diffuser. It's a diffuser. Our tongue affects the atmosphere around us. Went to a hotel recently and when we went in, I smelled perfume. I smelled it everywhere. It's unbelievable. Every room, I could smell the perfume. And it wasn't like someone was wearing perfume. And I couldn't see it. And I couldn't see where it was coming from. But I could smell the perfume. So clearly, they must have had some diffusers there that were sending out the perfume. I couldn't find it, but they were. I got a shock a few years ago, right? Because I went to this bathroom, and this was in the days just when they started putting those diffusers in there, where they start, you know, putting out the, you know, the spray and that sort of thing. And before that, you know, you've got to use the can. And I walked into this toilet, and then all of a sudden, and I'm, you know, doing what you do in a toilet, right? And then I heard this, and I thought, there's a snake in here. Like, I couldn't believe. I didn't realise that there's a diffuser there on a timer. Affecting the atmosphere. That's what our words do. They affect the atmosphere.
That's right.
They affect the atmosphere we're in. They actually affect the people around us. Our words are a diffuser. Proverbs 15, 1 to 2. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The result is determined by the way that we talk. Proverbs 16, 28. A perverse man sows strife. And a whisperer separates the best of friends. Have you ever been in a situation like that? Maybe you've been in a workplace or some kind of group and all of a sudden you can sense it's a toxic atmosphere. And it generally only comes down to one or two people. Little things, little comments, diffusing. Proverbs 26, 20 to 21. Where there is no wood, the fire goes out. But where there is no talebearer, strife ceases. So with a talebearer, the way someone talks, then there's strife. We can affect atmospheres by the way that we speak.
Yeah.
What that means is too, we need to be careful about who we listen to.
Yeah.
Have you ever spent time with someone and then afterwards you thought this?
Yeah.
I was doing great.
Yeah.
Then I talked to them. And what had happened? They were saying things. I like doing that. And it diffuses. Psalm 1 verse 1. Blessed is the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked.
Mm.
Be careful who you listen to.
Yeah.
Because what's on them? I can see this happening. What's going to happen is this. Someone in our church is going to say something negative in the foyer. And everyone's going to go. In fact, let's do that. That'd be really cool. I give you permission, now that there's no COVID, don't have to worry about masks. Sometimes people, maybe this has happened to you, I'm sure it probably has happened to everyone at some point. Someone has said something to you or about you, and so I can't, I'm being labelled. Have you ever had that happen? Someone said something and now I'm stuck because I walked into this atmosphere, someone did, said something. I wanted to watch the documentary recently and it was about, do you remember the old TV show Gladiators? And it was about the Gladiators show and basically it was all these muscle-bound people, very fit people, competing in games against regular people and that sort of thing. And they had funny names, you know. I remember the guy called Vulcan, he was the famous one. And so they were talking about, and basically talked about how, especially in the American show, everyone was super dysfunctional. They were really dysfunctional. And they were talking to one of the guys who was one of the originators of the Gladiators, one of the initial, you know, Gladiators. And he talked about, and his life ended up being quite a mess. And he talked, and he said that he went to counselling and realised that when he was younger, when he was 9 years of age, his mum and dad split up. And his mum was Japanese and they were in Japan. But when his mum and dad split up, he went with his dad. He left his mum in Japan, hopped on a plane and moved to the US. So you can imagine how traumatizing that would be. He gets on the plane, he said goodbye to his mum and he starts weeping on the plane. He's sitting next to another man on the plane and the man next to him tries to comfort him and he says, don't worry about it, mate. It's okay. Come on, get yourself going. Big boys don't cry. And then all of a sudden, big boys don't cry. Big boys don't cry. So he started on the weights. Nothing wrong with, but the motivation. Big boys put on a brave front and conducted himself a certain way until he realised that his life was on a bad foundation. And it damaged him because of what someone else had actually said to him. Maybe that's happened with you. Someone has said something to you. You'll only ever be like this. You'll never amount to that. And it's someone said it to you and it's like, I can't get rid of it. I've got good news for you today, friends. God can deliver you from that. He can set you free from all the labels that other people have put on you. A few years ago, I did a message here at church on the prayer of Jabez. And basically, in 1 Chronicles, there's a thing called the genealogy. So they start listing off different generational lines of people. And in the middle of it, in 1 Chronicles 4, 10 and 11, 8 to 11, he talks about this guy named Jabez. Jabez just kind of interrupts the genealogies and says this prayer, which became quite famous. And, you know, Lord, pray that you bless me indeed, enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, that you would keep me from harm, that I may not cause pain. And the Bible said, and God granted what he requested. And so if you want to know God's will for your life, that's a good thing to pray for. All those things God's got for you, okay? But notice this, he says at the end, that I may not cause pain. I remember thinking about that and thinking, what is, Jabez got anger issues. Like he's just walking around saying, Lord, stop me, I'm going to smash him. Don't talk to me the wrong way, people, I'm going to hurt him. Lord, don't let me cause pain. But then when you realise that his name Jabez in the Hebrew means pain. He was called pain by his mum. Every day of his life, pain. How'd you get your name? Because she bore him in pain, she called him a pain. His whole life, pain, pain. Can imagine at school, you're a pain. You're a pain. You're a pain. You're a pain. That's all you ever do. You're causing all this pain. That's who you are. Could you imagine him, you know, being at kids' church and he's with his sisters and his mum comes to pick him up. Hi, I'm here to pick up my kids. Faith, hope, grace, and pain. Pain, your mum's here. Pain. We've got some other pains down the back. Different spelling though, pains. You're a pain. That's all you're ever going to be. And he had that prophesied over his life. It wasn't his fault, but every day. Till one day he'd had enough. And he says, Lord, bless me indeed. Enlarge my territory. That your hand would be with me. That you'll keep me from evil. And I'm not going to cause pain. I'm not going to do what everyone else has declared over my life. And for some people here, I believe this morning that for some of you, there's freedom here. Because you have been labelled by some things. You've been labelled by some things that you used to be, but you're not anymore. And some people can't handle the new you. And I want to let you know that we serve a God who can deliver you from all those things. But that's why it's so important for us to be good diffusers wherever we go. That's why some of you, God has actually put you in a toxic environment. And you think to yourself, why am I even here? You're there because you're the diffuser. You're there because in spite of the atmosphere, you're there to sweeten it up. Wherever you go. And one of the ways we do that is with our tongue. Third thing about our tongue is a consumer. It's a consumer. We eat what we say. That's what the scripture says. Proverbs 13 verse 2. A man shall eat well by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the unfaithful feeds on violence. Proverbs 12, 14. A man will be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth. And the recompense of a man's hands will be rendered to him. Proverbs 15, 14. The heart of him who has understanding seeks knowledge, but the mouth of fools feeds on foolishness. Proverbs 18, 8. The words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles, and they go down into the inmost body. Proverbs 18, 20 to 21. A man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth. From the produce of his lips he shall be satisfied. Proverbs 26, 22. The words of a talebearer like tasty trifles, they go down into the inmost body. Did you see that? We actually eat what we say. So not only do we affect others around us, we actually affect ourselves as well. Yeah. That's why we've got to sometimes speak to ourselves. That's why sometimes we have to use positive words to help us feel better on the inside. There are times in Scripture where we actually see this. Psalm 103, King David says, bless the Lord, O my soul. Come on, bless him. Come on, don't feel like it. Not up to it today, but come on, get going. Bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me will bless his holy name. Yeah. There are times we have to speak to ourselves. The Bible says about David, he would go and encourage himself in the Lord. I've got no one to encourage me. Well, you can encourage yourself. Yeah. Start speaking words of life. Start speaking words of positivity. You know, you can't feel good speaking negative words. Honestly, think about it. Oh, that's stupid. That's ridiculous. That's hopeless. You don't feel any better. But you start speaking words of life, you'll be amazed at what happens. I know I've told you before about one well-known preacher that I knew when he was downcast. He used to drive around his car speaking excellent words. Wonderful, tremendous, fantastic, great. Starts making you feel better. And in the same way, we need to speak words of life, speak words of positivity. The reality is this, as Aussies and as Queenslanders, you really notice this when you go to America, that we can actually downplay things and be a little bit negative. And we think we're being humble, but we're not being humble, we're being liars. Because if you speak something down, you're lying just as bad as speaking something up too much. Yeah. It's actually lies. You know, that's why some phrases you've heard me say before, phrases I don't really like, the phrases called, like, not too bad. Yeah. How you doing, mate? Oh, yeah. Not too bad. Oh, you're bad. You're just not too bad. Yeah. Remember one time, one of the boys in my youth group when I was youth pastor, I said, how you going, mate? He goes, oh, yeah, not too bad. I said, oh, not too bad. You're bad, you're just not too bad. So what happened? Someone died last night, you slept on the street, you're starving. And he said, oh, now that I think about it, I'm doing pretty good. And in the same way, if we speak words of positivity, did you notice that? As soon as I started saying that, his countenance shifted. Yeah. We just start speaking words of life. That's why as believers, we need to be the most positive people on the planet. Yeah. We should not be the biggest chicken littles running around saying the sky is falling. Right. We should be the most positive people. We should not be bothered by all the bad news. We've got a 24-hour news cycle. They are looking for bad news all the time. There's always something that can kill you. There's always something that can take you out. There's always some kind of disaster. But my Bible tells me I'm not going to magnify that. I'm going to magnify the Lord. We're supposed to be people of hope, people of faith, people of victory, and it manifests in our mouth, amen? We eat what we say. Oh, that's just hype. It's not hype, it's the truth. It's Bible. We're supposed to be positive speaking people. And the last thing about our tongue is our tongue is an indicator. It's an indicator. It's an indicator of what's happening in our heart. What is in our heart manifests in our mouth. You'll know as you drive a car, you've got a dashboard. And on the dashboard, you've got all these things which are like little indicators of what's happening elsewhere. So if you're running low on fuel, it will actually tell you on the dashboard. Now, I've got a confession to make today. And this kind of probably reinforces some thoughts about my manliness, but I've driven other cars and hired cars before, and it was always kind of a little bit of a moment, a little bit of a panic, you know, when you got to fill the car for the first time and you don't know which side the petrol cap is. I'd pull up and, oh, it's on the wrong side, it's on the left, pull up, it's on the right. Did that for 49 years, right? And then last year I was with a mate in a hire car and I said, oh, I've got to fill up the car. And I thought, oh, I don't know what side the petrol cap is. I better hop out, go have a look around. He goes, what are you doing that for? I said, well, I don't know what side it is. I just got the car. And he says, but it'll show you on the dashboard. I said, what do you mean? And he said, you know, where they've got the little petrol bowser, wherever the little, there's a little arrow pointing, which I said, I never knew that. Put your hand up if you never knew that either. Yeah, praise the Lord. Yeah, you're just a lot. You've just come to church, got a life lesson today. You know what I'm saying? I had no idea about that. And some of you thought, I knew it, Nancy boy. Anyway, but our tongue is an indicator of what's going on in our heart. I'll read you some scriptures. Proverbs 6, verse 12. A worthless person, a wicked man, walks with a perverse mouth. Why do they have a perverse mouth? Because they've actually got a perverse heart. Proverbs 10:11, the mouth of the righteous is a well of life. Righteousness, well of life. Proverbs 10:31, the mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom. So what's in our heart actually comes out in our mouth. Our tongue is an indicator. I mentioned to you before about James chapter 3. James chapter 3 is the longest continuous passage in Scripture talking about our tongue. And when you first study it, you think that he's actually telling them to control their mouths. But when you study it, you realise he's not telling them to control their mouths. He's trying to show them by using their mouths as an example of what's going on in their heart. And so he's basically telling them that, you know, because he says the tongue is a world of deadly poison, you know, who can control it? No man's been able to control the tongue. So basically he's saying your tongue is telling me what's going on in your heart. You know, sometimes people say, oh, you know, you can't judge my heart. We kind of can. Yeah. But what's coming out of the mouth? Yeah. What's coming out of the mouth indicates what's actually going on in the heart. Matthew 15:18, Jesus says, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart. Back to Proverbs, Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart with all diligence, for out from it flow the issues of life. So our mouth is an indicator of what's going on in our heart. Have you ever had a time, I've had this happen many times, where I start bubbling and blurting things that I never intended? and you try and stop yourself and just say, shut up, shut up. And it's just bleh, bleh, bleh. And it's like all because of what's happening on the inside. It's kind of like bubbles over. It's like kind of like, you know, when you get a bowl of rice, I mean, you're cooking some rice and, you know, there comes a point where it starts, if you keep it on the boil, you know, just, we had an incident like this the other day. One of my sons was boiling rice and went to his bedroom. And then I yelled out to him, mate, get back out of here because this thing is bubbling over. Have you ever had that happen? Something's going on in your life, in your heart, and wherever you go, you can put your hand on your mouth and it just keep seeping through, and it's just like what's happening in there just is coming out. And so really what that means is this, it's an indicator of something going on in our heart.
Yeah.
That's why sometimes, and the other thing I've noticed is this too, can't control it. It feels like you can't fix it in my own strength. But the thing I've learned is this, even though I can't, the Lord can. That's why David says in Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. It's actually God can actually help us remove things from our heart, and that will naturally change our mouth because of what's going on in our heart. And so I know myself, there's little moments I catch myself or I say things and I sit back and reflect and think, where was that coming from? What was that all about? That was complete overreaction. Have you ever had a conversation with someone and you've said something like this and their response is like, bah! And you thought, what did I say? What did I do? Oh, they were triggered. You didn't do anything. Something else is going on there.
Yeah.
And like a jack in the box, you can try and keep it down, but at some point, blah, it comes out. If that ever happens to you, what I do is this. I try and reflect and say, Lord, what's happening in my heart? Can you take this thing out of me? Because I know something's going on because something's coming out of my mouth that I don't actually like. You know, lived in Mackay for a number of years, and there's a weed there called sensitive weed. Now, we used to call it a weed. Japan apparently have it as like an exotic plant, but I don't know if you know anything about sensitive weed, but there's all these prickles in it, so it's really annoying. And it's called sensitive weed because when you touch the leaves kind of close, you know, so it's called sensitive weed, and they can spread out on your lawn. But interestingly enough, all that weed comes from one root, one tap root.
Yeah.
Now, what I found in Mackay at the time was that people wouldn't necessarily poison it, because when they would poison it, it would leave blotches on their lawn. But being a tropical climate, what they would do is wait till it rained. And then when it rained, it would soften the ground. And then, you know, everyone had like needle nose pliers. And then what they would do is that when it was raining, you go around wherever there's sensitive weed, you put the needle nose pliers in and you pull out the root, and it's this long root connected to all this fruit connected to one root. But the ground was too hard to get at until you had something sharp and until you had some moisture. We had something like that happen when we were living at Ipswich. Trish was in the yard doing stuff and she says, Ben, can you come out here, give me a hand? And there was this, I only noticed it when I got closer, there was this like green leafy weed in the lawn. And she started pulling the edges of it and the weed was like that big. But you could feel around and it all connected to one root. So Trish was trying to pull it out, couldn't do it. I said, oh, it's all right, I'll pull it out. And put my hand down, I'm like, couldn't budge it. So I put two hands. Couldn't budge it. So then I got like a little shovel, started digging around it, still wouldn't go. Got the hose, started watering it, loosened up, eventually got it out. Felt like Excalibur, you know, get the sword out of the stone and like was that long, like the root. And you don't want it to break off because if it breaks off, it's just going to come back later.
Yeah.
So you want to get the whole thing. Pulled the whole thing out and all this weed was connected to one root. Could not do it without that sharp edge, could not do it without that water. Maybe today, as I've been sharing, the Holy Spirit's been illuminating to you there's something. You can tell, you're catching yourself. There's something, I can't put my finger on it, but there's something in my heart and it's manifesting in my mouth. And in your own strength, you haven't been able to deal with it. In your own strength, you haven't been able to get at it. But can I tell you that as the word of God, which is sharper than any two-edged sword, that has been declared today, and as the presence of God is here, the water, the rain of the Holy Spirit, I believe that today God is going to allow some people to have some things that were in their heart be uprooted and removed so that you will be free to continue on in all that God has for you.
Thank you so much for joining us. Stay tuned for new messages weekly. You can keep updated on what's happening in the life of King's Church by following us on social media at King's Church GC. Be blessed.